Hey, this is Adrian.
And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech
and all things whiskey. So, and I know this is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, because you just said that you're not a sommelier, but you out of everyone that I know when I, you know, when I sip whiskey with, you're the person who talks the most about, you know, you get a little bit of apple in this or pear in that, can really taste the char. How did you get to be able to taste those things? Because I sip a whiskey and I say, hey, that's a good whiskey.
So that's a layered question, but I'll answer it. You know, since I was of drinking age, I've always been really fascinated by like the process of making something, whether it be not just whiskey, but just the art and also the science that goes into it. And I just, you know, I started with wine.
Sure.
I'm also a big fan of wine, but it's funny, most of the people who start in wine somehow end up in whiskey, or there's not a vice versa. Sometimes it happens, but usually you progress on from beer or wine and kind of go into spirits. And just really took a liking to whiskey. My first whiskey I ever had actually was a Blanton's. And I just kind of, before Blanton's was super popular because of like Netflix shows and stuff like that. But
so now you drank it before it was cool.
Yeah, before it was cool. Yeah. It's a very hipster thing for me to say.
I just wanted to bring attention to that.
Yeah, and yeah, but it is the case. But I really did enjoy the flavors. And when you ask about like how can I smell or taste these things, I love to cook.
Sure.
I grew up in a Latino household, and there was always something cooking. And you kind of, you know, when I say pear, I don't necessarily mean like you're eating pear.
Sure.
It just triggers that memory of a smell or a taste.
Okay.
That somehow, you know, is receptive towards you to like something or not like something.
Sure.
You know, some people, if they taste like black licorice or red licorice or something like that, you don't like that flavor, they're going to hate the whiskey.
Sure. Okay, that's interesting. I know that I've drank a lot with Ed, who also works with us, also a big whiskey head. And he speaks about things like, for example, Woodford Reserve. It has that banana feel to it. And I taste it, and I say, wow, that's true. It tastes like banana, but there's obviously no banana in the mash when they make the whiskey. Do you know how they get those complex flavors like that?
Honestly, I don't. I think they're still figuring it out. You know, it's just there are commonalities of certain types of, like, alcohol. I think it's just natural. You know, I call it divine inspired. You know, it's definitely, it really is a gift from the gods.
Heaven Hill, you know, yes. It works out.
Nice plug.
So this particular one, what's the proof of it?
94 proof.
Okay. And how does that rate across whiskeys, rye?
So rye is the same as bourbon, to call it a straight bourbon, okay. Or bourbon in general, the minimum proof that you could bottle, they call it cutting of water, right?
Sure.
Is 80 proof, which would be 40% ABV.
Okay.
This one's 94. So it's actually a pretty solid one. You know, once you start getting to 100 and you start getting way up there for like barrel proof.
Right.
That's when things just start to get very big and very big whiskeys, you know.
All right. Well, you, this is pivoting a little bit, but, you know, after a drink, I do tend to get hungry sometimes. You mentioned that you grew up Latina household and always had something cooking, and that's true. I've seen you cook. I've seen the meals that you brought in. I've been very envious. Do you have a favorite meal to bring with your whiskeys?
Barbecue.
So you like to barbecue?
They're designed for each other. It's like pasta and wine. Barbecue, cornbread, you know. I mean, ribs go great. I'm a big fan of brisket.
Sure.
And that whiskey cuts that with that charred smoked goodness. Oh, I'm getting hungry now. I'm getting hungry.
I beat you to it. That's why I was asking. So do you make a good brisket, would you say?
I'm actually horrible at barbecue. But I love brisket with whiskey.
Sure. I know that I've seen you bring in a lot of pastas and stuff, probably probably from your wine days.
My, you know, Western, like European, like Italian, French, and all that, I could throw down pretty good. you give me a piece of like pork and say smoke it, I'd be like, I don't know what to do.
Fair enough.
You know what I have to make it easier, and I'm probably gonna get a little bit of hate over this, but I'm willing to admit it. I have a Traeger.
Okay, that's,
it's just no fuss.
You that's know, I can fine do that. Though. You know,
but if you ask me to do like some old real barbecue smoking, I just don't know what to do.
You know, that's fine. People can hate us together. I actually really enjoy a good Traeger cookout. I have several friends who, you know, they have the barbecues and they have the Traegers. And, you know, there's obviously a difference, but at the end of the day, it's good. It's good.
It has a purpose, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, I was kind of, you know, thinking about, to go back into tech a little bit, or yourself. I want people to learn more about Ethan. Who is Ethan, right?
Oh, boy. I thought we were trying to get listeners here.
No, but I was kind of wondering, like, how'd you wind up in like, IT?
Yeah, that's, I appreciate that question. I wound up in IT probably how 90% of people wound up in IT, in that I grew up and I love technology. You know, we had a single computer in the house, and every chance that I got, I would get on it and learn its functionality. I had the classic parents who never wanted to know about technology. So, by the time I was 9, 10 years old, they would call me over and say, "Hey, how do I do this?" And it kind of just grew from there. The idea of helping other people with IT, even during the most frustrating times, you know, we've all had those frustrating times in IT, but even through those, it's always been very rewarding. And so I moved out of the house at, you know, I turned 18, graduated high school, moved out, ended up joining the military and doing a lot of IT work for them. Did some work as a programmer, did some work as a networker, a couple other, you know, computer-based jobs. And then with COVID, with the pandemic, I ended up doing active reserve for the last 2 years of my service, and all the contracts dried up around here. It just happened. You know, I kind of contributed it to a God thing. It was my time to get out. And so I did. And lo and behold, you know, I've been family friends with you guys through several different ties for a long time. And as it turns out, right around then, a job opened up here as a tech, and a job opened up here as an account manager. And here I am, and I'm loving every second of it.
There you are. And welcome to the firm. You know, it's been a little bit, but I just want to remind you, there is no leaving the firm.
Well, I call that job security. Some people maybe get scared, but I'm a good old boy who loves the job security.
So which branch of military were you in?
Sure, I was in the Air Force. You know, I'm a little bit biased towards it, but arguably the most techie branch.
Well, I mean, they do have the Space Force.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true now, huh? But I would like to point out, for the Space Force, they did poach several Air Force individuals to start it up. So even if Space Force is now the, you know, fanciest one, it came from us.
Right. I really like the fact that the logo, I don't know if you've noticed, of Space Force.
Oh, it's Star Trek.
It's Star Trek.
It's straight up Star Trek. Like,
they're not even shy about it.
No, not at all. I have a friend who grew up in the same hometown as me, is now a lieutenant in the Space Force, and all the time she posts things about like uniforms and stuff way back when, and it was straight up Star Trek. They weren't shy about it at all.
But you know, I have a lot of thoughts on the Space Force, and I will say that maybe Steve Carell slightly influenced them
on the show. You do kind of got to wonder, when there is a comedy show that comes out at the same time that something is being conceptualized, especially something like that, you got to wonder how much they played off of each other. Because I know that the show was loosely based off of ideas that were already in place, but you got to wonder how much the ideas were molded and shaped by, well, everyone's laughing at it in the show. I guess it's not that great of an idea. Scratch that.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like talking war stories, tech war stories.
Sure.
If you want to call it that. But what's like the worst ransomware attack that you've witnessed?
Personally or heard about? Because those are...
Both.
Okay. So... I'm going to say the worst that I heard about was actually there was a breach in HIPAA, I think it was 2017, 2018, where there was like 91 million people whose information, I think it was a Blue Cross, Blue Shield, something. It was big news because it was the first ransomware attack that was of that scale and of that severity. And after that, you know, 2018, 2019, ransomware doubled each year. 2020, it quadrupled. It was really, I feel, the one that really got the ball rolling on people seeing how effective this virus could be from, or pardon me, this malicious piece of programming can be from a prosecutor's standpoint. And so obviously after that, cybersecurity really had to step up to try to face this thing. Personally, probably the construction project that I was talking about earlier is the worst that I've seen, just because on the scale, they really didn't ask for that much money on the front end. It was only like $30,000, $40,000, which I say only $30,000 or $40,000. But when you compare it to the $200,000 ones that are every day, you know, every 11 seconds, it's not as bad. But because of what they took and because of what was corrupted and the fact that they got into their backups as well, they lost so much. It took us about 20 days to get them back online, but they are still recovering from some of the data loss that they had, and this is years later. So honestly, it's rough. You know, it's estimated about 15% of construction companies are going to be hit by ransomware, and that's just in a year. So it's crazy to think that being down for almost a month, potentially millions of dollars of not only revenue, but of, you know, your backup, your nest egg just lost overnight. It's crazy to think that so much damage can happen because an employee hit one wrong email, you know?
Right. So easy to happen. You know,
it is.
I'm kind of reminded, I was at a webinar. I was on a webinar about 3 years ago, and they actually have a ransomware suite as a service. So if you want to get in the name of ransomware, you could subscribe to a company, pay via Bitcoin, have a dashboard, and you could try to, like, it's kind of like a trading stocks. So you have this dashboard.
Sure.
And you could launch, you could just do massive ransomware or phishing schemes.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, the company that you're using also gets a cut of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of a way for you to get this, maximize your profits through taking up people's, you know, livelihoods at the same time.
The fact
it's kind of messed up.
Yeah, the fact that there are hacker communities out there are, it's both a blessing and a curse. Because we have, we used to send folks, when I was in my programming office out in Oklahoma City, we would send guys to Vegas, and I think there was also one in San Francisco, where they were literally hacker conventions that were, quote, white hat, but all the black hat folks showed up as well. And they would have the game where they would try to spot the Fed. Because they would all, every agency would send folks there just to get trends, just to see what was, quote, hip and happening with the hacking youth, just to try to get ahead of these things. It's a foundation of penetration testing, which is seeing where your vulnerabilities are. I know, funny name, but it's seeing where a company's vulnerabilities are so you can counteract them.
Right.
But a lot of times these ransomware suites are sold white hat, which is good guy hacking in a sense where you can see your vulnerabilities. Unfortunately, not all customers are white hat. Some of these ransomware suites are just kind of what you pay for, and that they're the ones that they can no longer use because most big companies have already got all the security, but they still sell them for the onesie twosie small businesses that aren't secure. But some of these ransomware suites can be really debilitating. You know, a successful attack happens estimated every 11 seconds. So it's crazy to think, even with all the technology that folks have, if you don't have the right stuff, it's detrimental, which is why we are so fist-poundingly sincere about needing our clients, if we ever work with folks, to have the right suite so that we, as a company who manages IT, can feel secure that the company that we're helping will still be there in a month's time.
Well, I mean, that's what I like about Intuitive Networks is that, you know, just, I will, you know, we're real people. You know, we don't beat around the bush. We'll tell you exactly what you need to do to protect you and looking out for your best interests, you know.
Yeah.
We just happen to have to look out for your data.
Exactly.
Know, your livelihood.
Yep.
Nowadays, and so we don't have physical ledgers. Well, maybe some people do, but that's a whole different conversation. But there's no like physical accounting ledger anywhere. Gone are the days of paper.
In a sense, yeah.
And we just have, you know, we all have to just realize that.
Yeah.
And, you know, businesses need to adapt, and we're here to help with that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the key, is that, you know, just have open, real conversations, kind of like we've had, you know, the past few minutes, you know, talking, and, you know, just say, hey, let's do this. Well, let's protect you.
And if you can have that conversation over a cup of whiskey, you're even better for it.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Ethan, this has been crazy fun. And I hope that the listeners are also, you know, had fun as well. And hopefully, you know, there was some information either with whiskey, tech, or both, you know, that you found useful that you could take away with you. And that's ultimately the goal, like we said, about this whole podcast is, you know, to everyone to have a little bit of something to expand their knowledge and just have fun with it.
Absolutely. And just one more time, what was that whiskey we were sipping? Because it's really good. I might get myself a bottle.
Elijah Craig Straight Rye.
Perfect.
Good.